Let's open up the scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. So just one verse here that I really like. The title of this talk is What God Cares About. What God Cares About. And Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, last verse in the chapter. I've said before, but Deuteronomy is a very interesting book in that there's little verses that crop up in the middle of things, and you think, it's like little snippets about what the Lord, where his heart is, you know, and here's one of them. Like, you read the droll of the rest of the chapter and the chapter before, and then we come to the last verse here, and it's an interesting concept. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law," you know, or follow his ways. And something has been on my mind a bit lately is, you know, the whole of the Bible was written for us, right? Yeah, okay, it's a historical document. But it's spiritually inspired, and we have the Spirit where we can read it and see how it applies in our lives. So the whole of the Bible, New and Old Testament, has actually been written for us, right? To encourage us and to let us grow. And so whatever, there are some peculiar stories in the Old Testament, there's no doubt about it, pretty gory in places, but somehow we've got to read it through spiritual eyes and realize this has been written there for us. And so this verse as well, like, secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us, okay? So it's like anybody, if anybody has a secret, you know, they hold it to themselves, nobody knows about it, but it belongs to that person. And then when they reveal it to someone, it's left up to the person they revealed it to do whatever they want with it, right? It's been left to them. Then. And that's what it's saying here. God has had many secrets that he's held to himself since the foundation of the earth, and he's revealed some to people. I mean, he still hasn't revealed them all, I mean, because we don't fully understand the kingdom of God. I mean, we won't, and that's probably why he's held it back. But what he's revealed, they belong to us. And so he's revealed the things that are in the scriptures. That's what he's revealed. So now all these secret things that he's held back from other people, he's revealed them to us, and they belong to us now. And so it's up to us to do what we want with them, really. He's just said, look, here you go. I've revealed these great secrets about the kingdom of God. It's now up to you to do what you want. Okay? And so, of course, the Lord wants us to take hold of these secret things, you know, read about them, understand them, apply them in our lives, you know, follow his ways, be humble to his ways. That's what the Lord wants. And as we read through the Bible, we get an idea of his character and what he's like, and as a father, as a God, as a Lord, and as Jesus Christ is, as a lamb, and as a brother. You know, it's a brother, a friend, you know, all these things. And we get an idea of, yes, God is love. God is also a consuming fire. God is gracious. He's merciful. He's a God of judgment. You know, we get an idea of all these things that are being revealed to us. And we get a picture of what he's like. And so these things are being revealed to us, and we can do what we want with them. So let us grab hold of these secret things and understand what God wants in our lives. So Mark chapter 4. It's funny, this morning when I was putting these scriptures together, you know, I always have a little bit of prayer if I can beforehand. And normally, if I have no idea what I'm going to talk about, just flop the Bible open and see what's written on the page. So this morning, I opened up to Matthew, to this parable that I'm going to read, and then I thought, oh, okay, I'll flip it over to someone else, and I flipped it over to Mark, to the same parable. So I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll read this parable then this morning. So bearing in mind, the title of the talk is What God Cares About. Okay? And the secret things have been revealed to us. So we're reading the Bible. We're reading things that God's revealed to us, what he cares about. So in Mark chapter 4, and it's the parable of the sower and the seed. So we know it, so I won't actually read the initial parable. I'll read like the interpretation of it when Jesus explains it, or the explanation of it. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, and it says, the sower sows the word. So the seed is the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so this is... it's such a wonderful parable because it explains so much of what we're seeing. Over the years in the assembly, you see these things. We are these sowers. We go about scattering the word, you know, telling people about the word. And we see it so much. Like their forehead becomes flint and it just passes by. It's like straight away, as soon as it's sown, Satan comes away and... it takes away the word out of their hearts and they carry on their lives. We see that. It's obvious, so obvious to us. And then we see others who receive it so gladly. Yeah, that's wonderful. It's amazing. I mean, I was told recently, you know, I was catching up with this bloke every week for a while, going through scriptures, and he couldn't believe the secret things that were in here and how they applied to our lives and how they applied to history. He was stunned. He actually said to me, he said, "Do you do classes?" I thought, wow, like, so it's obviously like we've got so much knowledge and so much understanding that he could see that we're in a position where we could teach others, you know, do paid classes. I said, no, we don't actually do that. Come to meetings, you learn these things and you read the Bible yourselves, you ask questions, and that's how you learn and you grow. So there's so much, and people receive it with gladness, think this is a phenomenal, it's the answer to what I've been looking for my whole life. But then... there's trials, there's things that happen in our lives, and because there's no deep roots, you know, they wither, and they it says they're immediately offended, and so then we don't see them. And there's the other one about the cares of the world, the thorns. That's a slow process, and we see that as well, a slow process. You know, people that have been walking on in the Lord for a long time, you know, you can see when they decide not to come anymore, it's that they've allowed thorns to grow up in their life. You know, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, lusts of other things. You know, it's a strong word, lusts, but it can be little things in our lives that are more important. And you can see that, just choking the word. And the first thing you see when someone's been in the Lord for a long time and they're bearing fruit, they're growing, it's great. And then when you start to see, oh, maybe there are thorns growing up around them, the first thing you see is they become unfruitful. Okay, they stop bearing fruit and then it keeps growing and then you may not see them anymore. But we always hope all of these people come back. That's what we hope for. You know, we just, with such joy, I was talking to someone on Friday who'd come back after a while and I just said to him, look, man, it's just great you're back. And he said, yeah, I know, it's just so good and everyone's been fantastic and that's really good to hear. And so these things, these are real that we see in people's lives. And then the last one, this is what God cares about. God cares about seeing that seed planted. That seed planted and growing and bearing fruit, growing stronger and continuing to grow and continuing to bear fruit. That's what God cares about. Okay? Now I'm starting with this parable and kind of moving on to something that may seem different, but it ties in with this. The scriptures I'm going to follow with keep this in mind because if we overcome the things that I'm going to read about, it's all about growing fruit and getting stronger, getting the roots deep down and continuing to bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. People produce different amounts of fruit. That's the way it is. It says it here. You know, like, no, God doesn't expect everybody to bear the same amount of fruit. It just depends what they're like and the situation. It depends on a lot of things. But he wants us to keep bearing fruit and be strong and have that root deep down so that when the cares of the world come up, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, they just brush past, okay? They just brush past. Now, my focus is here. And two great testimonies to hear there as well. It's really encouraging to hear that. And that's what happens. So over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. One verse here. Just to lead in. Romans chapter 7. Obviously it's Paul writing. And it's an interesting chapter to read because it gives a great perspective, which admittedly I still find it difficult to fully grasp what he's talking about. But in amongst it, in verse 18, Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, there's one verse here. For I know that in me, and then in brackets it says, that is in my flesh, right? He makes that clear. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So this is Paul reflecting upon himself, and he can see, right, as and we know the scriptures around it. You know, I want to do stuff, but I can't. I don't want to do stuff, but I do. You know, and what he's saying is in the flesh there's no good thing. Right? So Paul, this is what he's saying about himself. So we have to realize that as well. Within ourselves, within the flesh, that is, in the flesh, there is no good thing. Okay? It's the same with everyone in the assembly. Everyone. You know, I'm looking at everyone here. People look at each other. You know, everyone else, there's no good thing in their flesh. Okay? In their flesh, there is no good thing. So yeah, Paul's talking about himself, but I want you to turn it around and think, right, in their flesh, there's no good thing. It's through the flesh that they sin. There's in themselves, there's the will that is present in them, but in their flesh, how to perform that, they find not, okay? And that gives that perspective, gives an appreciation, because the goodness that is in us is the Spirit, and the goodness that's in everybody else is the Spirit, okay? James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And this here gives some great perspective as well. Got a couple of long passages to read today. And this is one of them, James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 1. We'll start in verse 1 here. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So just focus on Jesus Christ. He's our master. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So those that don't offend at all in word, turns out they're perfect. Perfect in the flesh. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know, like God's saying here, it shouldn't be the case. He doesn't want it to be like that. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So it's a very good chapter. It's a very heavy chapter. There's a lot in it. But the reason I'm reading this is it's what God cares about. Now, God says plainly there, all animals have been tamed. You know, the horse even is directed by a small bit. That a large ship is directed by a tiny little rudder. So the tongue, it says here that no man can tame the tongue. Now, praise the Lord, God's tamed the tongue. We speak in tongues. You know, God's tamed the tongue. He has performed a miracle. He's performed something that nobody can do. And it says here, this great example, like a person, a human being who's filled with the Spirit, you know, they bless God with their tongue, and then they might curse God with the same tongue. You know, and God's saying it shouldn't be like that. It should not be like that. And he gives this example that a well of water that brings forth fresh water, you know, it can't bring salt water out. You know, it just can't. It's impossible. It's the same thing. Or you've got a fig tree. You won't pluck olives off it. You know, it's the same thing. Like, it's something that defies nature. That's what God's saying here. It's something that defies nature, that a human being can say good things and with the same tongue say bad things. But what I want to say here, it's the way it is. Okay? It's the way it is. And so we need to accept that that's the way it is. In our flesh, there's no good thing. You know, praise the Lord. Yes, with the tongue, we speak in tongues. And so when we're speaking in tongues, it's pure and it's beautiful. It's awesome. But then when we're speaking our known language, we might say something off the lip. It's the way it is. God wants us to understand it's the way it is. In our flesh, there's no good thing. In ourselves, yes, we might shoot the lip. Oh, don't, shouldn't have said that. Ah, but somebody else will do it as well. Okay, we need to realize that. In somebody else who's filled with the Spirit, the goodness in them is the Spirit. And they might shoot the lip, say something off. Ah, okay. But then we appreciate that, yeah, in their flesh there's no good thing. They've got the Spirit. You know, God has tamed their tongue when they speak in tongues. And as we grow stronger and we get wisdom, and it says here, it refers to the wisdom that comes from God. You know, we have that wisdom as we grow in strength. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, you know, and it's not envying and without partiality. There's no hypocrisy. And then, like what I love there as well, referring to the parable we read, the righteousness is sown in peace and let it grow and bear fruit. Okay? So what God cares about is us having perspective. That in other saints, those things that are not good are in their flesh. Okay? And we're all saints that are dwelling in the flesh and have that perspective that, yeah, okay, their tongue as well can praise God and their tongue also can speak evil or bad stuff. Luke chapter 6. And I love that those are very firm examples that God's brought out in nature there. You know, that it shouldn't be. But remember, it is. It shouldn't be like that. It's not the way God designed it. But it is. It's the way it is. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And that's interesting. See, we're perfect in the spirit, so we are equal with Jesus Christ, our master, through the spirit. But in the flesh, we're not perfect, so we are his disciple. Verse 41, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam that is in thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So this here ties in, you know, this whole mote and beam. So the mote is like a splinter, a little splinter, and a beam, well, we know it's a whopping great big plank. And so what it's saying is, like, we see fault in each other. We may see fault in each other. And when we see fault in each other, it's like we've got this whopping, grabby plank in our eye. We're not seeing that, yeah, the fault, yes, they have a fault, you know, but it's in their flesh, right? And we all have faults in our flesh. We all do. When we take that plank out of our eye, we realise their fault is just a tiny little splinter because they're filled with the Spirit. They're perfect in God's eyes. Yes, they have a tongue that is unruly when they're not speaking the oracles of God, but they're filled with the Spirit. Then you realise it's just a speck, because the beam in our life is the Spirit. It's a whopping great big thing. And so when you realise that, when you take the beam out of your eye and you realise it's a tiny speck, then you're in a position to explain to them to remove the speck. But what I like about this parable is you're then in a position to not say anything because you realise that, right, man, I've got faults as well. And their fault in them is so small, it's not even bothering about. You know, praise the Lord, they're filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord, they're speaking in tongues and they're praising the Lord in tongues every day. They're reading the word. They're coming to meetings. Praise the Lord, all these things. They're perfect in God's eyes. Right, no need to say anything. Let's leave it as it is. Let sleeping dogs lie, you know. And it's all that perspective. Perspective is so much. And I've brought it up a lot, you know. Sometimes when I mention perspective and appreciation, I feel like I'm flagellating an expired equine. But it's such an important thing to have perspective. And when you have that perspective and you realise they're just little splinters, you know, the main part in people's lives is the Spirit, that's when you're digging deep. Because you do have to dig deep. Like, you get confronted with our characters and attitudes around us, you know, saints, with these things around us. And you've got to dig deep. Got to dig deep and realize, right, it's just a splinter. Keep digging deep and laying that foundation deep, or extending the roots down so that you're still, despite all these things, you're still bearing fruit. And when you dig deep, then you're laying your life on the foundation. You're building the house on a foundation. You've got the perspective right. This is the stuff. This is the core stuff that God cares about. He wants us to survive. Matthew chapter 5. Yes, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Some more of Jesus' words. And this here is interesting as well. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Interesting perspective that you may not... Well, I never realised, of course, until I read it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, or murder, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So four verses here, and I've got to explain. So it says here, first of all, that those that are angry with a brother, at brothers in the Lord, those that are spirit-filled without cause, is in danger of a judgment. The same judgment that was passed on to a murderer, okay? And then it says, if you say to your brother, Raca. Now, Raca means useless, right? Like if you start looking at a brother or sister and thinking, oh man, they're useless, you're in danger of the council. So having that mindset, oh, they're useless, they don't do anything. There's a danger there when we have that mindset, because you're kind of saying they're useless to the kingdom of God. And then, of course, we know what the word fool is. You know, if you think or say that they're a fool, you know, they're a fool, they're doing silly things, you know, they're in danger of hellfire. Now, it's all that perspective thing. Yeah, okay, they may be useless, but it's in the flesh. They may be a fool, but it's in the flesh. It's the spirit that's the strength. The spirit is good. And look, I'm a human being. I've been subject to these same things at low points. You know, when you're tired and you're worn out and, it seems like nothing's going right for you. We've all experienced that. And then you can have these thoughts. But why I'm reading this is when these thoughts come into your mind, think, no. Wash that away. Scrub it out. Doesn't belong in your mind. Let's start thinking, yes, they've been walking on. They've got the spirit. God sees them as being perfect. They are not useless. They are a stone in the wall of the spiritual temple. They're not a fool because they decided to follow God and they are still following God. Compared to the plethora of other people on the earth, they got baptized, received the Holy Spirit and are still walking on. They're not a fool. They're wise. And that's that perspective. And then this whole thing about if you've got anything, what is it? Verse 23, and there remembrance thou that thy brother hath aught against thee. You know, if you somehow offended your brother and you're there praying in tongues, you're before the altar, you're praying in tongues, and you think, oh, wait a minute, that's right, I did something wrong. Don't. Then what the Lord's saying is reconcile with your brother is more important than staying there praying in tongues. That's amazing, isn't it? I've said as well, though, when you're in the car driving to reconcile, pray in tongues as you're driving, but the priority is to reconcile with our brother, you know, because we're in unity. I was going to read it out again, but Psalm chapter 133, verse 1, you know, how sweet it is that the brethren dwell in unity. It's so important. And that's the whole thing. Like, God doesn't want schisms. You know, schisms are bad. It actually says that in the scriptures. No schisms. We've got the same aim. We're looking to the same thing. We're all realizing that, yeah, in the flesh there is no good thing. The strength is the spirit. The spirit's what's going to raise us up. And that's where it all, that's the power. There's no power in the flesh. Yeah, people say things or do things that are distasteful, that are foolish and useless, but in the spirit they're not. They are useful to God, the kingdom of God. They are not a fool. And that God has chosen them for a reason. And God has chosen them for a reason, not only to be a little insignificant brick in the wall, but also a pillar. You know, God's chosen us to be pillars. So Jesus is a cornerstone, and then we've got all these pillars and stuff holding up the spiritual temple. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I know we're all subject to these things because we're people, we're human beings. In our flesh dwells no good thing. And we just know also that we're trying our best. You know, we always try our best. That's what God wants. He just wants us to try our best. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. So you could say he hated his brother and killed his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So he was cut to the heart. We've been told many times that he could have changed his mind. He could have decided to follow righteousness. You know, that was open to him. So bear that in mind as well. These things are written for us, okay? So Cain hated his brother and slew him. But he could have changed his mindset and followed righteousness and loved his brother. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Don't marvel at that. They're the world. It's okay. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now that's very powerful. So what it's saying is, yeah, Cain acted it out. Cain hated his brother and murdered his brother. Today, as spirit-filled Christians, if we hate our brother, it's the same thing. It's like we're murdering. We're a murderer, just like Cain. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so that's the thing. Like, if there's hatred for your brother, Just think, no. I don't want to hate my brother, because when I hate my brother, in the eyes of the Lord, it's like I'm Cain and I'm a murderer. So that's why I'm saying this, and this is what I really appreciated when I first came to the Revival Fellowship. Yeah, I was filled with the Spirit, but I didn't really know. I had no real direction. I felt things. You know, you felt what was good and you felt what was bad. But what I really appreciated in the Revival Fellowship, there were words that were implanted in our mind. And this is why I'm saying this. If ever you feel this hatred for a brother or a sister, just think, no. The Bible says, if I do that, I'm a murderer. Right, clean that out. Right, get rid of that hatred and look to the love of the brethren. Then you're not a murderer. Because that's like in Cain's situation, if he was thinking, right, I want to murder Abel. No. Clean it up. Nope, God doesn't want that. I don't want to be a murderer. Right, let's follow righteousness. And so these words I'm saying to you, keep them in mind. And sometimes, like years ago, I was thinking, oh, they drove me up the wall. Ah, wait a minute, God said hating a brother is a murderer. Ooh, I'd better not. I want eternal life dwelling in me. That's what I want. So I'm going to change my mindset. Get rid of the plank out of my eye. Because God's called us for love, to love one another. And it says there in 16, a nice conclusion, for we perceive, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And he laid his life down for me, and he laid his life down for that person and that person and that person. For us and the brethren. Okay, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Interesting little fact that Brian said on Wednesday, that Paul never went to Colossae, but he wrote a letter to them. So Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Good advice here. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Excuse me. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Excuse me. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. That's an important thing. Be thankful. Praise the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So great advice there to us, you know, for bearing one another, being merciful, kind, humble, meek, long-suffering, you know, and distilling any quarrel, distilling any hatred, any variance, any schisms, all these things, but admonishing each other, encouraging each other with psalms, spiritual songs, you know, good stuff, you know, oracles of God and grace in our hearts. You know, grace. What's grace? It says there, singing with grace in your hearts. Grace is unmerited favour. Okay? So someone's annoying you, then unmerited favour. You give them unmerited favour because we were saved by grace. Unmerited favour. And then you realise, it takes time. I know that. I realise it takes time. And then over time, you'll see a change happen, a great change where you're digging deep and you're laying your roots down and you're bearing fruit. And the great thing, as we were talking before the meeting, talking a while ago, is just a great example as well, and you can encourage others also, admonishing others from your own experience. Because I was encouraged as well. I remember Pastor Tim explaining to me about his own experiences through this, and he was just saying he prayed about it, realised what the scriptures said, changed his mindset, sought the Lord, and it was brilliant. And he realised, perspective. Realised it's just a splinter, and he grew stronger from that. He was digging deep, relying on the Lord instead of his own strength, and he grew. And of course, we see what he's doing now for the Lord. You know, it's just great. So last scripture, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Funny, when I was preparing this, I realised there were about three scriptures in this chapter, and then there are half a dozen scriptures in between those scriptures that I wanted to read, and then I thought, well, let's just read the whole chapter, shall we? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So that's what I mentioned to earlier and today. It's our reasonable service. It's not an unreasonable thing that God's asked us to do. It's reasonable. And be not conformed to this world. Because when we think of ways that I've been mentioning today, we're conforming to the world, aren't we? We're conforming. But it says here, be not conformed, but be ye transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Proof. Like we'll be living proof of God working in our lives. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So he's given this example with our own body. Verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We need each other. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Diligence is such an important aspect in the scripture. Read the Proverbs. It goes on about diligence. You know, do it diligently, not lazy. You know, you're there all the time. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honour, preferring one another. And that's an important thing. We read something there as well. In honour, preferring one another. Everyone else is more important than yourselves. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, that serving of the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. When there's a problem, get on your knees and pray instantly. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, that unity. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You know, don't think that, gee, I'm good. Man, I'm so good at this. Don't think like that. It's God. We serve God, and that's the goodness, because that when you start looking at your own conceits or your own strength, you're looking at your body, your flesh. And as we read before, remember, in our flesh is no good thing. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then here, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, when I read that, it says, I'll read it again. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I read that, we've got the Spirit in. What lies in us is the Holy Spirit, okay? So we can't use this scripture as being an excuse. Oh, it's not in me. I can't live peaceably with those people. It's not that. You've got the Spirit in you, right? So what lies in us is the Holy Spirit. So it is possible. That's what that verse reads. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, with the Spirit, it makes it possible for us to live peaceably with all men. So if you're not living peaceably with all men, tap into what lies in you. Tap into the Spirit that lies in you. And then it becomes possible. God performs miracles. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. And that's an important thing to remember in our mind as well. When things are going on in your life against your control, just think, nope, God will avenge. It's in God's hands, and then it'll be done properly. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, and you may turn him around. Right? So that's what they're saying there. You're heaping, you're not feeding him and drinking him so that you can heap coals of fire on his head. You're heaping fire and coals on his so that he might change and become your friend. And if he doesn't, then vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You know, you're just trusting in the Lord there. And last verse, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay? These are great verses in the Bible that God inspired through the Spirit for us, for our benefit. Okay? So these are things that can help us grow stronger and appreciate what God's done in our lives and what he's doing in our lives. And not only that, what he will do in our lives. Okay, thank you.